A federal judge recently ruled President Trump cannot block users, including critics, on Twitter. In her ruling, she said the president's Twitter feed is a public forum, meaning preventing people from seeing or responding to it is a violation of the First Amendment. This issue has come up in cases in Kentucky and Maryland. Lawmakers here in Arizona have been accused of blocking users with whom they disagree as well. With me via Skype to talk about politicians and their social media is Dale Cohen. He's founder and director of the documentary film Legal Clinic at the UCLA School of Law. And Dale, how widespread is this issue of politicians blocking people on social media?
Well, let's back up. First of all, it's very widespread phenomenon for politicians and for government officials to now use social media, all those different platforms, to communicate with the public. And it's a terrific platform for them to use. It is a little less widespread for those government officials and politicians to be blocking or otherwise interfering with communications from their audiences. But there are several cases that have sprung up in the last few years. Obviously, the case involving President Trump is the most prominent of them.
There have been a lot of comparisons made to, for example, FDR's fireside chats and other presidents' use of TV news conferences or other, you know, TV televised speeches as comparisons to, you know, you can't block somebody from listening to the radio. You can't, you know, try to get the TV networks to block distribution to a particular part of the country where your support might not be as strong. But I'm wondering if there is a difference, either legally or otherwise, in the sense that with social media, the constituents, the audience, can respond directly to the politician as opposed to, you know, somebody can scream at the radio, but the politician's not going to hear that. A constituent in this case can actually respond directly to the politician and have a pretty big platform for that response.
Absolutely. It's really very different than the Roosevelt fireside chat. It's the next step in the evolution of what I guess First Amendment scholars would refer to as the marketplace of ideas. It's an opportunity for everybody to be talking and responding directly, not only to the president or any government official, but talking betwixt and between the other members of the community about those comments, about those policies and those ideas. So it's a dramatic step forward in terms of communications. And the Supreme Court has, on several occasions, has spoken to the importance of social media in the First Amendment landscape, most recently in the last term, a case involving North Carolina.
So is this just the kind of deal, do you think, for politicians, that if they're going to use social media and go around the traditional media and speak directly to their constituents, they just have to expect that people are going to say negative things on their feeds or post negative things about them somewhere?
No, I don't think so. First of all, I think that there are platforms and opportunities for them to speak affirmatively to the public and not allow any form of comment. There is no First Amendment right to use social media as a member of the public to speak directly to the president. So I don't think that they have to accept that, but it certainly makes all the sense in the world in our constitutional system to expect and hope that that's exactly how government officials will use social media.
Right. I'm wondering if a politician or a public official can use social media. I guess they could choose not to look at the responses, but is it allowed? Is it legal? I mean, taking the politics out of it, can they just block all comments? Like, can they use social media to get their message out and not receive social media messages?
Well, it's interesting. There's no case law on that particular subject. I mean, obviously, the Trump case is a very different one than that hypothetical situation, because in the Trump case, there is an acknowledgement that they were discriminating against certain comments based on the viewpoint of the speakers. But yes, I think that at least the judge in the Trump Twitter case would say that it would be okay for a government official not to accept any comments. The problem in that case, in the Trump Twitter case, was that they were selectively blocking comments that they simply didn't like what the speakers were saying.
Are there legal ways for politicians to sort of enforce codes of conduct on social media?
I think there are. I think it's crystal clear that when the concerns or the conduct is not viewpoint oriented, that Twitter or Facebook or any of the platforms provide rules and opportunities for government officials or any user of the platform to take steps to protect themselves. When the platform itself is being interfered with, I think that both Twitter and the user would be in a position to take some kind of action to block under those circumstances. The First Amendment does not require a speaker or a platform to allow itself to be disrupted. The First Amendment's implications in the Trump Twitter case and in similar cases is that when the determination is being made by government to discriminate against people because of their ideas, because of their viewpoints, that goes to the heart of an abridgment of free speech and the sort of abridgment that the First Amendment prohibits.
Where is that legal line, though? Because I can imagine a politician saying, you know, there's this one person who keeps responding to me on Twitter or on Facebook, and, you know, their ideas are so disruptive, or the frequency with which they're commenting is disruptive, or it's just causing problems for me and for the rest of my constituents, my staff, that I really just don't want them on there anymore. I'd like to block them. Is there a legal line for where somebody is actually causing a disruption that would be legitimate to block them versus you just don't want to hear what they have to say?
I don't think that there's a clear, bright line, and there certainly haven't been any cases, or there haven't been enough cases for us to really establish where that bright line is. The bright line test that Judge Buchwald was facing in the Trump Twitter case was you had an acknowledged decision to discriminate on the basis of viewpoint, and that's the really clear, bright line.
Dale Cohen is the founder and director of the documentary film Legal Clinic at the UCLA School of Law.